Let's all stand, please. Thank you, Kelly. Scripture tells us in the book of Hebrews that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despised the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There was joy. He went to the cross because of the joy that he knew would be his one day when you and I will be in his presence. I want you to take your Bible this morning. I want you to go to the Gospel of Luke. Gospel of Luke, Lamb Selection Sunday, also known as Palm Sunday. If you go to the Gospel of Luke, looking at verse number 29. Luke chapter 19. Verse 29. Luke 19, 29. And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto them, why loose you the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they sat there, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even unto the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitudes said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for these words. And certainly, we ought to be those that praise God today. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for this season and what this day represents. So many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago, and yet today, it's real to us. It's real to us because that day Jesus rode into Jerusalem, presenting himself as king to the nation of Israel. But your word says he came unto his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Father, we thank you for the mercy and grace that you allowed us to believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You turned the light on in our lives. And Father, I thank you today for these words that, you know, the stones would cry out if people don't praise the Lord Jesus. As Kelly's song says, the creation represents and shouts the glory of God. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the book of Matthew, not here in this portion of Scripture, but in the Gospel of Matthew, we find that they spread their clothes in the way when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. presenting himself as king to the nation. And then it says that they cut down palm branches and strawed them in the way also. And so that's where the term Palm Sunday comes. It is the day that is the Passion Week starts, and it's that. But the phrase that has always kind of been so important to me is that verse number 40. And what Jesus says here, these words in red, and he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, or if the people didn't shout out, the stones would immediately cry out. The rocks would immediately cry out. You know, and so I got to thinking about that, you know, the idea of the stones crying out. Have you ever heard the phrase, dumber than a box of rocks? Have you ever heard that phrase? Okay, no, you've never heard that. Okay. Well, anyway, if the disciples didn't cry out, or these people that shouted Hosanna. Now we find that from Zechariah chapter 9, verse number 9. He cries out, and it's prophetic there. 500 years before Jesus ever rides into Jerusalem, Zechariah prophesied that this is exactly what's going to happen when he rides in. You're going to shout to the glory of God. But I got to think, well, rocks. How important are rocks in the scripture? Well, this is Easter. Let me ask you a question. How important is the stone in Easter? Isn't it one of the primary things at Easter? The stones rolled away? You know, and I got to thinking, you know, throughout the scripture, rocks have been very, very, very important in the scripture lessons that we have throughout life. And I just wrote down some things. Back in Joshua chapter 4, when the children of Israel crossed the Jordan River and went into the promised land, God told Joshua, I want you to get 12 men of the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And I want them, when you cross through that Jordan River on dry ground, I want you to take some rocks out of the midst of the Jordan River, and I want you to take them over where you enter into the promised land, and I want you to take 12 stones, and I want you to lay them up as a memorial, so when your children ask you one day, what's the meaning of these stones? Why are these 12 stones piled up here? You should tell them, because you came across on dry ground, and I stopped the Jordan River, and you walked across on dry ground, and that's a memorial for them. And I got to thinking, you know, that's one reason why stones are mentioned in the scriptures, as a memorial. But you know, and I got to think, well, there's another one. Remember David, just a young man, and he was going up against Goliath, and what did he do? The scripture says that he went and he took five smooth stones, and he picked them up. Why? Because he was going to use them. And what did he do? He put one in that slingshot, and what did he do? He hit Goliath right in the middle of the forehead. And the scripture says, and that stone sunk in. And so we see the story tells us then that not only the stones are for a memorial, but they're a stone for deliverance too, aren't they? Deliverance then. He delivered the nation of Israel out of the Philistine army. Or how about Daniel? You say, well, Daniel, let's see, what does he have to do with stones? Well, you remember they complained about Daniel. He would always pray to the Lord, and he was not allowed to pray. And those enemies that he had said, oh, listen, there's a decree of the Medes and the Persians that, hey, you got it. You can't ask anything or pray anything. And so what did they do? They said, David prayed. And so what did they do? They threw him in a den of lions. And what did they do? They placed a stone over the top of that den of lions. And so that stone placed over that mouth of that den. And you know, I wondered as we think about these things, if those stones could speak, what lesson would they tell us? Memorial? Deliverance? Victory? And so we look at this. In Matthew 28, verse number 2, it says, an angel came down and he rolled the stone away that day. I've asked many times our congregation, I've asked it on Sunday evening, who rolled the stone away? Do you know? Well, you do now, I just told you. Matthew tells us that an angel from heaven came down and he rolled the stone away, because you see, the ladies that came to the sepulcher that day were wondering, how can we move the stone? And the idea is that God still takes away those hindrances in our lives so that we might have access to the very knowledge of God. It's okay. Hey, we all have those. We all have those. Okay? But here in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse number 40, we hear these words. We hear these words. That if these people would hold their peace or be silent, the very stones would cry out. I often wonder then, as this starts the Passion Week and Jesus is riding into Jerusalem on this little colt, and it's according to Daniel's prophecy that they would know the exact time, the right time to ride in, as we've discussed this many times. They should have known. They should have known the very time that Jesus would come into Jerusalem. It's right there in the scriptures. And yet they didn't know. But this day he rides in and the shouts are going up from the people. Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. The multitudes were there that day. The lepers that had been healed were there. The blind people were there that had received their sight, like old blind Bartimaeus. I'm sure he was there that day. Those that had been delivered from demon possession, many of them were there, as Mary Magdalene being one of those. Those that could walk, that have been healed, the lame. All types of diseases, those that were even brought back from the dead, were there shouting, Hosanna, glory in the highest. You know, if those stones could talk, as we discussed this morning in the Sunday school hour, probably in Jerusalem at that time, there was probably upwards of 2 million people there. Passover was getting ready to be celebrated. And so there's no stopping this people that had been delivered from praising God. They had a reason to praise him. But I ask ourselves this morning, isn't that what we should do? Haven't we been delivered also? Haven't we been delivered from the punishment and the penalty and the payment that is required for sin? And Jesus took all of that. Shouldn't we be shouting today too? But we find ourselves keeping silent. Silent. And Jesus says, you know what? If you keep silent, creation won't. Creation won't. We find in the scriptures that the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Night unto night, they offer speech. You see, where humanity fails, creation will not, because it's the very creation of God. And so as we see this, you know, as I see Israel in the news and all of that, I see more rocks than grass. In fact, I don't see much grass at all over there. But it is a very rocky portion of this old earth. There's more rocks there than grass. But, you know, I understand that when the Jewish people go to the Wailing Wall and you see those massive, massive rocks that they've been hewn out, and they take their little prayer requests and they stick it in the gaps between the rocks and they pray. Only the Jews. And they pray. Because there's not much left. Just a few rocks of that temple. But I wonder, if those rocks could talk, what would they say? What would be their speech? What would they say to you and me? My brother went to Israel several years ago, and he said that in their group that they were in, at the church that he was going to, they walked up the Via Della Rosa, that road that Jesus walked up to Mount Calvary. And they walked up that road. The same rocks that were there when Jesus carried that cross up that road, when he had Simon to carry that cross because it was too heavy for him, like Kelly's song said. And the blood that came down as he walked along that road, those same rocks are still there. And I just wonder today, if those rocks could talk, what would they tell you and me? What would they say? We were privileged to uphold the very Son of God. We were privileged to be sprinkled with his blood. You see, that's the very same thing that you and I are privileged with. Because the blood of Jesus Christ has sprinkled our lives. And we're not the same anymore. We've been changed. And those rocks. And I read where Jesus carried the cross part of the way and he couldn't carry it anymore, so they gave Simon the job. The stones, 2,000 years old at least, are still there. Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell the story of Jesus' ministry, covering the 3 years of his ministering here. But you see, the Gospel of John only covers the last few days of Jesus' ministry. And so these are stones that are mentioned in John that I want to see this morning. I want us to see some stones that John brings out. Stones that speak to you and me today. Take your Bible, you're in the Gospel of John now. I want you to go to the Gospel chapter number 8. John chapter number 8. And I want you to look at verse number 1. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. Okay? And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what say thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. There in that temple court, this woman was taken by the scribes and Pharisees, and the law said to stone her. But Jesus said, okay, the first one who is without sin, you get to cast the first stone. And so we find that Jesus seated then stands, and he that is without sin among you cast the first stone at her. And so he stooped down, the scripture says, and he wrote on the ground. We don't know what he wrote on the ground. A lot of Bible scholars have given different ideas of what he wrote on the ground. But what's this mean? What's this mean? It's the stone of pardon. You know, today you and I have received the very pardon for sin too. And if that stone could talk that day that was could be cast, it would say, no, you've been pardoned, set free. But Jesus said, go and sin no more to her. How do you think she felt that day? How do you think they felt? You know, I'm glad today for this portion of Scripture because it speaks of the stone of pardon in my life and yours too, if you name the name of Christ. And we see the very compassion and the commanding character of our God. No condemnation anymore. He says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. Aren't you glad today for the stone of pardon? I am. She was changed. She was given a new beginning, a second chance, a fresh start. Aren't you glad for a second chance? The God of the second chance. You see, your need and her need was the greatest need of all. It's the need for forgiveness. Forgiven, pardoned, not guilty any longer. And that's what that stone means. And so we see that here in this portion of Scripture. There's another stone I want you to look at. Go in your Gospel of John there. I want you to go to chapter number 11. Chapter number 11. This is a very familiar story. It's a story of Lazarus. Mary and Martha were Lazarus' sisters, and they were good friends of the Lord Jesus. And the word comes to Jesus there in the first part of chapter number 11 that Lazarus is sick. We find there in verse number 6 that Jesus stays where he was for 2 days while Lazarus was sick. Lazarus eventually dies, and in 4 days later, Jesus arrives and he talks to Martha. Jesus hears Martha say to him, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. If you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. And certainly that might have been the case, but you remember what Jesus said to his disciples? This sickness is so that you might understand. So that you might understand God's. And so the key verse today, Jesus says in verse 25, he says, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And so we read this story and go over to verse number 32. It says, and when Jesus therefore saw her weeping and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And we see the very compassion of Jesus here. And Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Notice there's a little exclamation mark at the end of that verse. Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind and have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It is a cave and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. If this stone could talk, what message would it give? What would it say? What a story it would tell. It's Christ's passion, compassion. Jesus weeps. And he says, remove the stone. Take away the stone. You know, one of these days, this stone in our lives will be a reality too. We will live. And we will rise. And the very earth that keeps us down if we are buried will give way to the rapture of the church. Look at verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he did. You see, that stone is a stone of passion. Come forth. And one of these days, you and I will come forth. As Jesus says. Now take your Gospel of John, and I want you to go to chapter number 20. This stone speaks of the power that Jesus has. It's the stone that we talk about at Easter time. It's the stone that was laid in front of the tomb of our Lord and Savior. You read chapter number 20, in verse number 9, it says, for as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Rise again from the dead. You see, this morning that stone was moved, wasn't it? Not to let Jesus out, but to let the people in. A stone was laid, and he laid in the grave 3 days. It's the story of Christ's redemptive power for you and me. A stone, you see, a stone of pardon, a stone of passion, and a stone of the very power of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. What a story when we talk about stones today. Stones. But there's one last stone that I want us to look at. Take your Bible. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. I want you to look at verse number 4. 1 Peter chapter number 2, looking at verse number 4. First Peter 2, verse 4 says, to whom coming as unto a living stone disallowed, that's speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded or disappointed. Unto you therefore which believe, is that us? That's us. Unto you therefore that believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient or unbelievers, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they are appointed. You see, it makes a difference when you talk about stones, what we believe. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone to you and I that are saved. He's the foundation of our lives. He is the very premise on which we build our lives. We build our lives on Christ. But to those who disbelieve, he's called a rock of offense or a stone of stumbling. They will fall. They will fall because of him. Let's stand this morning. And as we think about this today, you know, one of these days, if the stones could really talk in the scriptures, and they would say, wow, I was used by Almighty God throughout the scriptures, and I was used by God to proclaim the very nature and person of my Lord and Savior. If stones could talk. But here's the thing. Peter says that you and I are living stones. We have a testimony. We have a message. We're alive. Oh, you say, stones don't live. Stones are just things. Don't think for a second that God can't raise up stones to talk if we don't. We have a responsibility. We have a privilege. 1 Thessalonians 2:4, and I like that little verse. It says, but as we are allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not to please men, but to please God who tries our hearts. We have a responsibility to speak. You know, this Passion Week in which we're going to celebrate, as we as Christians believe that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is alive today, isn't he? He's alive. It's not a figment of our imagination, or it's not what man has brought into life so that we can kind of make life simple or easy. No, he's alive, he's real, and he lives today, and he's a lover of my soul. I thank God that he forgives sin. I thank God. According to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that he turned the light on in my life. Aren't you glad of that today? Aren't you glad he turned the light on, allowed you to come to the very knowledge of who Jesus is? Aren't you glad today you have forgiveness of sin? I guess you're not. Aren't you glad today that you can look to your neighbor and say, I'm a Christian, are you? I'm a Christian, are you? I'm glad today. I'm glad today that Jesus said if those stones don't cry out, people better. Because if people don't cry out, the stones will. We have a responsibility. Praise God as we celebrate this week that our hearts and minds might really be in tune with what Lamb Selection Sunday is? What Easter really means? Because this world's going to get wrapped up in Easter eggs and rabbits and candy eggs and commercialism. Forget that stuff. That has nothing to do with the resurrection and our God, as we sang that song, our God reigns. Amen? Let's pray. Father, I pray today, as my prayer has started this last week, that, Lord, I don't want anyone coming into our congregation to not understand the very resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And what was entailed with his death, his burial, and that resurrection Sunday morning. Father, we are so privileged and so blessed. We have the very words of life to hold in our hands and to read, but we are so, so, so void of them. Sleeping through life with the very words of God, and yet, Father, we have a message to speak to the world. Jesus is alive. And I thank you today in his precious, precious name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Shake hands, please, before you leave.